Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
You guys thought that the whole improv game with Mrs. Antonucci was funny, but you forget that I was once breastfed by Mrs. Antonucci. I've got two goals for today. If you consider yourself a Christian, my goal for you today is that you would stop considering yourself one. And if you don't consider yourself a Christian, my goal is that you would never become one. And I know that sounds kind of crazy coming from a pastor in church, so I'll explain. And to do so, we're going to look at a story in the Bible in a book called Matthew chapter 4. If you have a Bible, you can turn there. If you don't have a Bible, we will put all the verses on the screen. There's also a Bible integrated into the Verve app, and we also give out Bibles at the Velcro Bar if you need one. So today we're starting this new series called Summer by the Lake, and we're going to look at scenes from Jesus' life that happened around a lake. And as we look at these encounters that Jesus had with people of his time, I hope that they'll lead us to have our own encounters with Jesus over the next few weeks, and that ultimately they'll lead us to better understand what it means to have a relationship with God through Jesus. So we're going to start the series in Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 18 and 19. It says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. And the next verse talks about how they left their nets and they followed him. They left everything behind to follow him. Now this really happened. And it may seem like a simple story, but it's really a profound story. And it helps us to understand the difference between what many people today call being a Christian and what it truly looks like to be a follower of Jesus. Now, from a first reading of the story, it may seem like when Jesus called them, you know, he walked up and said, follow me. And then Simon, who's later and more commonly referred to as Peter, and Andrew, when they did, it may seem like this was a cold call. Like they had never met Jesus. He walks up out of nowhere, and either he was incredibly compelling, or Peter and Andrew had incredibly low sales resistance, because Jesus just, this stranger walks up and says, follow me, and they're like, I will. Do you have a vacuum I could buy? How about a set of encyclopedias? You know, but that's not the case. This was not their first encounter with Jesus. Jesus had actually been living around and doing ministry around the Sea of Galilee for quite a while, this area where they lived. And he had become known for being this person who taught about God and healed people and had compassion for hurting people, and he could do miracles. And so they knew who he was. And back then, it doesn't happen this way today, but back then, spiritual leaders would invite people to follow them, to become their disciples. A disciple is kind of like an apprentice. And if you said yes, it meant that you would go and you would follow this person, and you would learn from them how to live your life. And that's what happened. Now, because Jesus called them while they were at work, it feels like maybe this was primarily a call to switch their careers, to leave the fishing business and go into like the religion business or the ministry business. But that's not really what's happening here. This was not just a call to switch careers. It was a call to center their entire lives around Jesus. It was a call to become Christ followers. And from that point on, when they said yes, it meant that being a Christ follower would be their primary identity and the primary purpose of their lives. And I want you to notice that when Jesus calls Peter and Andrew, he doesn't call them and say, come be Christians. You know, he says, come follow me. There's an author who wrote a book called Jesus with Dirty Feet. And I like the way he talks about this. I want to read it to you. We'll put it on the screen. He writes, Jesus was not a Christian. He never asked anyone to become a Christian. Never built a steepled building. Never drew up a theological treatise. Never took an offering. Never wore religious garments. Never incorporated for tax purposes. He simply called people to follow him. That's it. That, despite its simplicity, is it. He called people to follow him. It is never more than Jesus' call, follow me. And a response, dropping familiar nets and following in faith this sandaled Jewish man. It is never more than that. 2,000 years of words can do nothing to the simple, basic reality of Christianity. Those first steps taken by those two brothers, Simon and Andrew's theology, was as pure as it gets. Jesus said, follow me, and we did. And Jesus' call to those two guys that day is the same as his call to you and I today. Jesus is still calling people to follow me. To follow me. And it was not just an invitation he made that day for those two guys to start to believe certain things or just to do certain things. But here's the problem. Today, at least in America, people think that Jesus calls us to become Christians. Now, there's nothing wrong with the word Christians. I don't know if you know what it actually means. The word Christian literally means little Christ. And so if you're a Christian, the idea that it's supposed to mean is that your life so resembles the life of Jesus that it's like you become this kind of mini-me, you know, you become this version of Jesus. That's what the word Christian literally means, but that's not what it's come to mean to most people in our society today. Today, when we think of a Christian, most people think that a Christian is a person who believes certain things about God, Jesus, the Bible, and as a person who maybe does certain things. They attend church. Maybe they volunteer or give money or read a Bible, right? And that's what a Christian is. See, Jesus is calling people to follow me, but so many people today are content just being Christians. And what that has done is really damaged the reputation and the cause of Christ. For instance, did you know that in America, 85% of people call themselves Christians? That's a lot of people. That's about 247 million people. But you look at all this group of people who call themselves Christians, and you ask the question, really, what difference are they making in our country? And the answer isn't very encouraging. Like, did you know that there is not a single county in the continental United States where there are more people going to church today than there were 25 years ago? Did you know that last year, half the churches in America did not help one single person find their way into a relationship with God? Half the churches in America didn't have a single person come to faith in their church last year. North America, where so many people call themselves Christians, is about the only continent in the world where Christians aren't making significant inroads and really making a difference. There's more. Studies show that Christians, people who call themselves Christians, are no more likely to give money. They're no more likely to help a homeless person on the street or to correct the mistake if a cashier gives them the wrong amount of change. The divorce rate amongst people who claim to be Christians and then people who don't claim to be Christians, it's exactly the same. In fact, the Barna Research Group did a survey of 152 separate items, character traits, comparing the general population to people who call themselves Christians, and they found virtually no difference between the attitudes and actions of those who say they are and those who say they aren't. One of the guys who conducted that study is named David Kinneman. Listen to what he writes about their findings. He says, when asked to identify their activities over the last 30 days, Christians were just as likely to bet or gamble, to visit a pornographic website, to take something that did not belong to them, to consult a medium or a psychic, to physically fight or abuse someone, to have consumed enough alcohol to be considered legally drunk, to have used an illegal non-prescription drug, to have said something to someone that was not true, to have gotten back at someone for something he or she did, and to have said mean things behind another person's back. It seems that the great illusion of our day is that you can call yourself Christian, but just completely avoid the Jesus life. You know? Today, Christian is what 85% of the people in our country call themselves, but it seems like people can call themselves Christians but not actually follow Jesus. But Jesus' call is to follow him. And the hard truth is, and man, I hate to say it, but we don't need more Christians like that. And the hard truth is, we don't need any Christians like that at all. And so today I've got a challenge for you. Usually we're kind of easygoing, but I want to challenge you today. And I want to challenge you to truly become a Christ follower. Like a follower of Jesus, someone who seriously sets out to follow Jesus with their whole lives, not just with a part of your life, not just on Sunday mornings or in certain ways, but with your entire life. Now, I realize that some of you may be new to this. My favorite thing about our church probably is we get people from all over the spiritual spectrum. And so you may be here really new. You may be here and be an atheist. And so you might not be ready to make a decision like that. I get that. I understand. I told you, Peter and Andrew, this wasn't like the first day they met Jesus. It took them a while to make that decision. And so you may not be ready, and I get that. But I just want to tell you that my prayer for you is that you would make the decision to follow Jesus sometime soon. Like, I hope as soon as possible, because it won't change my life at all if you make that choice. But it will totally change yours. And it will change your life in the best ways. Not when you become a Christian, but when you decide to truly follow Jesus. Now, when Simon, Peter, and Andrew said yes to following Jesus, what it meant for them was, we saw, putting down their nets. And that's what it means for us as well. Now, for them, it meant a career change. They did leave their career behind, and now they were doing something different. But that's not what leaving your nets is about. And changing careers might sound like a big deal to you, but what Jesus is actually asking of us is actually much bigger than a career change. Because when Jesus calls us to leave our nets, he's calling us to let go of our old identity. I wonder, like, how do you think about yourself? Like, what makes you, you, to you? A lot of use. But how do you, like, identify who you are? For most people, for a lot of people, it's like your job or something you're good at. And so if you said, who are you? You might say, I'm in sales, or I'm a teacher, or I work at a casino. Or maybe a lot of people define themselves, maybe you do, in terms of relationships. Like, oh, I'm a husband, or I'm a wife, or I'm a mom. I've got these two kids, or I'm a grandma, or I'm a son. And that tends to be how we define who we are. And there's nothing wrong with all those things. And they don't have to stop being important to us when we decide to follow Jesus. But all of those things do become secondary. They become secondary. All of it can still be important. Your job can be important. Your family should be important. What you're good at is important. But it's not who you are. It's no longer who you are, because who you become is a follower of Jesus. To follow Jesus means that's my identity. And the cool thing is that will never change. And I can lose my job. My wife can die. My kids could disown me. They probably will someday. But my identity as a follower of Jesus, as the one Jesus loves, that can never change. And so there's, like, incredibly this amount of security in knowing that. And for someone who decides to follow Jesus, he becomes the most important thing in my life. And my identity is, I am a follower of Jesus. I am the one Jesus loves. And I would say this, no matter how tough you are, and no matter how independent you are, I think what we all want is to be loved. We want to be chosen. And that's who you are. You're the one Jesus loves. And he's called you to follow him. That's who you are. There's another thing we're called to leave behind if we decide to follow Jesus. And it's letting go of being the one who calls the shots for me. Like when I say yes to following Jesus, what that means is I am giving myself the pink slip as the CEO of my life, and I'm inviting Jesus to move into the big corner office with the door, you know, the sign on the door that says CEO. And probably for a lot of us, that's really tough, right? Because we tend to be very controlling, and we tend to be very independent, right? Now, I don't know if any of you watched, used to watch the show Malcolm in the Middle. It's a few of you. Do you remember the theme song said, "You're not the boss of me now"? You're not the boss of me now. You're not the boss of me now. And you're not so big. I think that could be like our national anthem in America, right? We could, before baseball games, we could all stand up and just start singing, "You're not the boss of me now," right? It could be like our national motto could be the United States of America, where you're not the boss of me now, right? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of "you're not the boss of me now." But because we are an independent people where I am the boss of me. But when Simon Peter and Andrew put down their nets, they were handing over control of their lives to Jesus. Like, he was now going to call the shots. He was going to set the direction for them. And man, they had no idea what that meant. Like, there was no control. It was a loss of control. They had no idea what's going to become of us. Where might he lead us? They didn't know, but they trusted him. And when we say yes to following Jesus, from that point on, we're saying, "God, you get to call the shots for me." And I don't know all of what that's going to mean, but God, I'm confident that you love me more than I love me. And I might be an okay boss for my life, but I tend to get myself in trouble. And then I say, "How did I get myself in this situation?" And the answer is because I'm the boss of me. And I'm going to trust that God can lead me to a better place than I can lead me. See, being a Christian is often thought about of as like doing good things and not doing bad things, right? If you're a Christian, you try to behave. No, God's idea is not for you to become a Christian and start working on your morality. Okay? God's idea is for you to follow Jesus. That's what it means to be a Christian. Now, if you start following Jesus, what you want to do is you start wanting to let go of anything that keeps you from fully following Jesus with your life. And so you start to realize, man, being a workaholic, it kind of gets in the way of me fully following Jesus. Being hooked on alcohol or sex or porn or other people's opinions of me or drugs, and that gets in the way of me following Jesus. And so I want to let go of the things that get in the way of me following Jesus. And so being a Christian, it's not about sin management. It's not about becoming a moral person. It's about making myself as free as I can to following Jesus as fully as possible. And so we walk away from anything that's going to keep us from being able to follow Jesus as closely as we can. When we say yes, we're giving Jesus command of our lives. That's what it means to follow Jesus. And so we walk away from lives that I think can tend to feel very empty and hollow and boring. And we start following Jesus and we find that he leads us into this path that tends to be very fulfilling and adventurous. And honestly, when you really follow Jesus, a little bit scary, but it's not boring. It is not boring. And we do that because following Jesus means that he becomes the boss of me. All right, so Jesus is calling us to follow him. When we say yes, we're letting go of our nets of our old identity. We're putting down the nets of having control over our lives and also of what we're passionate about. Saying yes to following Jesus means I'm going to put down the net of what I'm passionate about and I'm going to become passionate about what Jesus is passionate about. See, all right. So we think that being a Christian is all about what we believe, right? Somebody asks, what does it mean to be a Christian? I think you'd probably answer, well, Christians are people who believe in God and believe in Jesus and whatever. But listen, what you believe matters, but what matters way more than what you believe is what you're passionate about. That's true in everything in life, and it's true as a follower of Jesus. Really, what you care about is way more important than what you believe, and you know that's true. For instance, when my kids were younger, we taught them to brush their teeth. In the morning, after meals, before you go to bed, brush your teeth, because we are a family who believes in teeth brushing. Okay? And my kids grew up believing in teeth brushing. But still, as parents, we found ourselves having to say, have you brushed your teeth? And for years, the answer was usually no. Was it because my kids didn't believe in teeth brushing? No, they believed in it. It's because they weren't passionate about toothbrushing, right? They didn't care. But it's interesting. Something happens, and it happens around the age of 12. Their actions change. We would start saying, have you brushed your teeth? And the answer was yes. Why? Because around 12, you start caring what other kids think about you and what the other sex thinks about you and whether your breast stinks or not. And so all of a sudden, they started brushing their teeth on their own. Was it because now they believed in teeth brush? No, they always believed in it. It's because now they cared about it. There's actually research that's been done on like human brains. And what they've revealed is how we make decisions. Our decisions are six parts emotional and based on our life's experiences, and one part based on the information we have and what we believe. Every decision you make, for the most part, is weighted 6 to 1, 6 parts what you care about, and only 1 part what you believe, right? That's why you ask people who smoke, is smoking bad for your health? And I think the answer is 92% say, yes, it's bad for my health, but they don't stop. Why? Because they believe it's bad for their health, but they're not passionate about stopping, right? And so what we believe is like information in our brains. It applies to parts of our lives. But what we're passionate about, man, that tends to be about your whole life. Well, like me, I'm passionate about sports, okay? If you ask me, do you believe that sports are truly important? No, I know they're not important. I know it doesn't really matter if the Dodgers win the World Series or if the Raiders ever win another Super Bowl. I know that, but I'm passionate about those things happening. And so it's interesting, if I'm walking through a person's house, a casino, a restaurant, and there's sports on a TV, I can't walk past it. Like, it's physically impossible. I'll be like, and I just stop, and I what's the score? What game is on, right? If I'm at, like, a restaurant with somebody, and there's a game on a TV, like, I want to talk to you and listen to you, but I'm not going to. Like my mind is going to be, like, right there, and I'm, I can't help it because I'm passionate about it. Do I think you're more important? I know you're more important. I believe that, but I'm passionate about sports. And becoming a follower of Jesus is about laying down the nets of what we're most passionate about and becoming even more passionate about what Jesus is passionate about. And that doesn't mean you can't be passionate about other things. I'm still passionate about sports. But it does mean that what Jesus is passionate about is number one for me. And here's what Jesus is passionate about. People. People, like, you look at Jesus' life, and all the time he'll have an agenda. Like, he'll have a place he needs to go, but he will, like, stop his agenda. He'll break off of his plan because he'll notice someone who has a need, and then he'll go and meet that person's need. It will always say, like, Jesus was on his way to whatever, but then, filled with compassion, he saw this blind person, these hungry people, whatever, and he goes to those people, and he meets their needs. He was unbelievably passionate about people. Christians today tend to be defined by what they believe, but Christ followers are defined by what they're passionate about. They care about what Jesus cared about. Increasingly, that becomes true about them. And so they're passionate about people and trying to meet people's needs whenever they can, especially the spiritual need that we all have to find our way into a relationship with God. So, being a Christ follower is about hearing the call of Jesus and then responding by laying down our nets. Our nets of identity, our nets of control, our nets of passion. And then truly, actually following Jesus. And yes, if you're like, do you think you can see Jesus? Like what do you? I know you can't see him, but Jesus is alive today and he's moving. And what it means to decide to put your faith in him, to follow him, is I'm going to follow him wherever he leads me to go. And there are places that Jesus wants to take you. And if you decide to become a follower of his, it means going wherever he says to go, whenever he says to go. See, Christians define spiritual maturity by how much you know, how much spiritual information you have available to you in your brain. But Christ followers don't focus on knowing, they focus on going. That was a pretty good line right there. I should have said that more preacher-like, you know. Christ followers don't focus on knowing, they focus on going. There you go. With Simon Peter and Andrew, chances are they already knew about Jesus. Like before that day, if you said, do you know about Jesus? Oh yeah, he's been around a lot. He does this, and he's like this, and he says this, and he teaches this. But until that day, when he said, follow me, and they said yes, all it was knowledge. Now they were going to be with him and they were going to go where he wanted them to go. Spiritual maturity isn't about how much you know. It's about how quickly you're willing to go when Jesus shows you the way. It's not about how much of the Bible you have memorized. It's about how much time elapses between when Jesus says to do something and when you actually do it. It's not how much you know. It's how quickly you'll go. Now, I want to make sure you hear this. I'm not saying it's not important to know the Bible, okay? Don't hear that. That's why, I mean, if you come to Verve, you're like, man, we've got sermons about the Bible. We've got Verve U courses about the Bible. We've got micro groups where we talk about the Bible. We have a Bible reading plan where we tell you, here's what to read in the Bible. We give you Bible study for every single day of the year. There's a lot of stuff about the Bible. Yeah, it's really important. But the reason we have all that isn't to increase our knowledge about the Bible as much as it is to increase our ability to follow Jesus as quickly, closely, and thoroughly as we can. Right? Knowing the Bible isn't the end, it's the means to the end. And what we're shooting for is following Jesus. A year or two ago, I shared this illustration with you. When my son was young, like from I think 3 to 6 or 7, he played soccer, and I was the soccer coach. And we would do this drill in soccer practice where all the kids, there'd be like 12 little four-year-olds with a soccer ball, their own individual soccer balls. And we would play this game I called Catch the Coach. And so I'd be like, you ready? And they'd be like, ready? And I'd be like, go! And I would start running. And they would all follow behind me, dribbling their soccer balls to work on their ball handling skills. And so I would run straight for a while, and they'd all be really good following behind me. And then I would cut, and I would start going that way. And the kids who had like good ball handling skills, they would just cut me right behind me. But there would be some kids who just kept going straight, and they're looking at me go off. And so then eventually they'd make this big turn. And now they're still behind me, but they're way behind me. And once everybody was following behind me again, I would stop and would run straight at them. And I would just run right straight the group, and the kids who were good would just turn with me and they'd be right behind me, and the kids who weren't good would just keep going in the wrong direction, and eventually they'd be out in the parking lot, minivans are going by, like it was dangerous. But I realized one day when we were playing that I'm like, oh, this is kind of what it means to be a Christian. But like, this soccer drill is a really good illustration, because Christians think there is a list of expected behaviors that I'm supposed to do because I'm a Christian. I'm a moral person. That's never what Jesus intended. What it means is I'm going to follow Jesus wherever he goes. And so I need to get to know him through reading the Bible. I need to pray a lot. I need to always be like seeking his leadership, his direction in my life. And I need to follow him. Well, like whenever he says to go, as quickly, closely, and thoroughly as possible, I follow Jesus. I'd ask you this. If you're not new to this, if you could look back at your last 6 to 12 months, let's say, the amount of time it takes you to follow Jesus, to do what Jesus is telling you to do, would you say that it's increasing or decreasing? Are you becoming more obedient, more quickly just going wherever, or is it like, oh man, like I think it takes me more time to finally decide to do what Jesus is asking? See, Christians focus on a list of expected behaviors. Christ followers focus on going, where Jesus is going. And often we know where he wants us to go, what he wants to do, because we read it in the Bible. He tells us a lot of stuff in there. And so he tells us in there that we should rejoice with people rejoicing. We should mourn with people who are mourning. We should give 10% of our income back to him. We should share our faith with other people. We should volunteer. We should have compassion for hurting people. Okay, those are some of the things Jesus wants me to do to follow him. But sometimes, and increasingly, as you grow closer to him and you continue to do life with him, it's not just what you read in the Bible, it's like he's telling you. And I don't mean audibly, I mean like nudges. Like it's just like you just get this nudge of like, talk to him. Hey, like pay attention to her, she's hurting right now. Or that's something you should volunteer for. And at first, like, it's hard to hear that, to get that, but increasingly, you start to kind of recognize Jesus' voice or his nudge. Like, when my wife and I were engaged, we went out to lunch one time, this is a true story, with a pastor, and we're sitting at lunch, and I'm talking, and all of a sudden, my wife kicked me under the table. And so I said, why did you just kick me under the table? And she said, you're not supposed to say that I kicked you under the table. And so the pastor starts laughing, and I'm like, no, it's not funny. She really did. She kicked me under the table. And he's like, I know. And I'm like, but why did you kick me under the table? And she's like, you're not supposed to be saying that I kicked you under the table. And I'm like, clueless. I'm like, what's going on here? Now, today, she didn't need to kick me on the table. Like, she can kind of, like, give me half a look, and I'm like, oh, I'm saying something I'm not supposed to be saying. Like, I need to shut up right now. Like, she can just kind of look at me, and I'm like, I get it. But back then, like, she had to, like, kick me, and I still didn't even know what it meant. And so as you do life with Jesus, at first, it's kind of new, and it's like, I don't know. But increasingly, you just start to recognize, you know who Jesus is. And you start to recognize his voice and what the kind of things he tells you to do. And you kind of get these nudges of like, huh. I need to go talk to him because I don't know. I just feel like I need to talk to him. See, Christians, for the most part, they try to do the right thing. If for no other reason, because they want to look good. But Christ followers move when Jesus says move. They take risks when Jesus says to take risks. They go when Jesus says to go. So, if you are a Christian, as I've described today, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to stop being one of those. And if you're not a Christian, again, I hope you'll never, ever become one. Like, and what if? So, what if we had, like, a church full of people who decided, man, let's truly follow Jesus. Like let's become Christ followers. Like, what might happen here? Well, like, what kind of impact could we have in Las Vegas and beyond? What might God do with us? What kind of things would we experience? Even, I would say, even in the next 12 months, what would we each experience individually and collectively as a church if we decided we're really going to follow Jesus for the next year? I'll tell you one thing I know. It would be an adventure. I can tell you that from experience. It would be an adventure. So if you're kind of been, I don't know, playing Christian, calling yourself a Christian, kind of playing church, I hope today you decide to stop. And if you want to really follow Jesus, if you're like, man, I got questions about that, or I want to do that, I want to tell somebody, I'll be back in the Velcro Bar at the service, I'd love to talk to you about that. We've got other volunteers or trained and awesome people, they'll be back behind the Velcro Bar, they would love to talk to you about that. If you want to tell somebody about your decision, if you have questions, we would love to do that. Let's do this. If we did, maybe we could really become a church that turns the world upside down. That's what we talk about. It's kind of our motto. But what if it wasn't a motto? What if it's like, oh, no, that's what's happening here? That could happen. All right. We're going to give you a couple minutes right now to think about all that. Our band's going to play one more song. And if you want to sing, you can sing. But we really give you this time for you to just kind of contemplate and wrestle with what you experienced today. And what does it mean for your life? Okay, so just ask yourself some hard questions. Where am I at? Like, do I focus on believing or do I focus on following? And what would that change look like in my life? Is there any area right now in my life where I know that Jesus is calling me to do something and I'm not going in the direction Jesus is going? So just some time for you to think about all that. Maybe make some decisions about where you need to go next. During this time, we also have communion available if you'd like to take it. Communion is on the tables around the room. It's a piece of bread and a cup of juice that represent Jesus' body and blood given on the cross for us. Now, I said your identity is you are the one Jesus loves, and it turns out he loves you so much he went to a cross and died for you so that we could be brought into a relationship with God and really experience life with him. And so in communion, we thank him for that. We celebrate that. And if you'd like to take it, you can go and get the bread and juice, bring it back to your seat, and when you're ready, you can take that. All right? After the song, we've got a quick announcement or two, and then we'll sit you out of here. All right, let's pray. God, thank you so much that you call us to something more than just believing. And believing, it doesn't change your life. You know, there's lots of things I believe about the world. There's lots of things I believe in, and they don't change my life at all. But you call us to more than believing. And believing is a good place to start, but what you call us to is following. And you've got this plan for each of us. You've got this adventure for us where we can make a difference with our lives and find fulfillment and really live lives that are an adventure and kind of have this feel of a romance. And And you're calling that to us today, but to say yes, we've got to lay some things down. And so would you help us to have the courage, the fortitude to lay down the nets of our identity and of control over our lives and whatever it is that we need to lay down so that we can truly follow you. God, help us have an encounter with you today, just like Peter and Andrew did by the lake that morning. Help us to make the decision that we are going to follow you the rest of our lives. I pray all this in Jesus' name.